Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
What happened when the one who left you ended up completely alone? Story 1. She left me during the hardest year of my life. I'd lost my job, my dad passed, and I was drowning. She said I had become too heavy emotionally. I didn't even blame her. Grief isn't pretty. Fast forward 4 years. I rebuilt. New job, therapy, gym, friends, even joy. One day I got a message on LinkedIn. Hey, I saw your post about your promotion. Congrats. Want to catch up? We met for coffee. She looked the same, but older in spirit, like someone who hadn't moved on. She admitted she had dated a few people, none serious, and most fizzled out when she started showing vulnerability. The irony wasn't lost on me. Then she said, I think I made the biggest mistake of my life leaving you. I just smiled, not cruelly, but kindly. I think you made the best decision for both of us, I replied. And I meant it. Story 2. My ex left me for her coworker. Said she needed someone more exciting. It destroyed me. I spiraled for months. Barely ate, drank too much, and deleted every photo we ever took. About 2 years later, I heard she was living in a tiny studio apartment, working the same job, but her coworker fling had dumped her after a year. Turns out he had 3 other girlfriends in different cities. Classic. She reached out recently, sent a long email apologizing for being a coward, and trading stability for fantasy. She talked about feeling lonely all the time. Said she now realized love isn't constant dopamine, it's presence. I never replied, not out of revenge, but because I genuinely don't have anything left to say to her. I'm dating someone now who held my hand on our worst days. That kind of love? You don't gamble it for sparks. Story 3. He left with no warning. One day he was planning our anniversary trip, the next he said he wasn't in love anymore. No cheating, no drama. Just a cold exit. Years passed. I focused on myself. Took solo trips, changed careers, made new friends, learned to live alone and love it. Then I bumped into him at a bookstore. He looked dimmed. I asked how he was, and he shrugged. I thought I wanted freedom, but it's weird. Turns out freedom without connection feels like a void. He asked me to dinner. I declined. Not to be petty. Just because I knew now, anyone who leaves you without trying isn't someone to reinvite into your peace. Story 4. Back in college, my girlfriend broke up with me right before finals week because she wanted to experience more before settling down. Translation: she wanted to hook up with guys at parties guilt-free. That sucked, but it lit a fire in me. I poured everything into my goals, got into a graduate program, moved to another state, started a nonprofit. Years later, she messaged me out of nowhere, said she saw me on the local news and was proud. Then she added, I miss talking to someone who actually cared about me. I felt sorry for her, not in a mocking way, just genuinely sad. She thought the grass would be greener with temporary thrills, but nothing real ever grew there. Story 5. He left after 6 years together, said he was tired of being the only one trying, which was wild because I was the one holding us up while he chased pipe dreams. He moved back in with his parents just until things picked up. They didn't. A mutual friend told me he spent most of his days gaming and doom scrolling. One night he called me drunk and said, I thought you'd always be there. That's when I realized he didn't miss me. He missed the version of himself he thought he could be with me. Without me, that illusion crumbled. I hung up and blocked him. The past doesn't get to return just because it's lonely now, especially when it left of its own will. Story 6. She didn't leave me for someone else. She left because, in her words, I need to find myself without being someone's girlfriend. I respected that at the time, even though it shattered me. We'd been together 5 years. I thought we were going to build a life together. For months, I couldn't sleep in our bed. I moved apartments just to breathe again. I took up cycling, ran 2 half marathons, and forced myself to date even when I still felt numb. But slowly, life rebuilt itself. 2 years later, I got a call from her mom. We were close once. She told me my ex had moved back into her childhood room, jobless, barely socializing, and battling depression. Her solo journey hadn't gone as planned. She tried moving to 3 different cities, couldn't hold a job, and struggled to make real connections. Everyone seemed temporary to her. Eventually, she messaged me. A long, painful apology. I left to find myself, she wrote. But the only time I ever felt like someone was when I was with you. I didn't answer. Not because I hated her. I had simply healed too far in the other direction. Sometimes the person you leave is the last person you'll ever feel safe with. And once they stop waiting, they're gone for good. Story 7. He was the charming type. The guy with the big laughs and endless energy. When he left, it wasn't with tears or guilt. It was with a smug, "You'll be fine. You're stronger than you think. I just need more." Excitement. That line echoed in my head for a year. I kept imagining him thriving while I lay in bed, hollowed out. What did I lack? Why wasn't I enough? Then, through a mutual friend, I heard the excitement wore off fast. His new lifestyle, party scenes, situationships, random cities, left him drained. People stopped inviting him out. He burned bridges trying to feel relevant. Eventually, he admitted to that same mutual friend that, "Nobody really knows me." It's weird how that one phrase stuck with me. Because I did know him. And he left the one person who did. He tried reconnecting. Liked every photo I posted for months. Sent me a random meme at 2 a.m. One night. Then a message. "I miss having someone who actually saw me." I didn't reply. I didn't block him either. Let him stare into the echo chamber he created. Story 8. When my husband left me, he framed it like an act of mercy. "I just think I'm holding you back," he said, voice trembling. "You deserve someone more motivated. I feel like I've peaked." I didn't understand it then. We weren't perfect, but we were real. I stood by him when he lost his job, supported his creative pursuits. But his self-worth kept spiraling, and instead of healing, he ran. He rented a cheap apartment and started a podcast. I moved on, not quickly, but intentionally. I rebuilt my life around friends, travel, and my career. And eventually, I met someone new. Someone steady. Years later, I found out his podcast never took off. He posted sporadically, his followers never grew, and eventually he stopped altogether. I bumped into him at a bookstore. He looked pale, tired, hollow. He smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. He asked if I was happy. I said yes, because I was. Then he said something I'll never forget. "I thought I was letting you go so you could thrive. I didn't realize I was letting go of the one person who believed in me when I couldn't believe in myself." There's tragedy in that, but also closure. Story 9. She ghosted me. Not a breakup text, not a phone call, just vanished. After 2 years together, her number stopped working. Mutual friend said she had some personal stuff and didn't want to talk to anyone. I was humiliated. I replayed every conversation, wondering if I missed a sign. Was I too needy? Too boring? Too stable? A year later, I got my answer. On Reddit, of all places. She posted anonymously in a relationship advice thread. I recognized the writing instantly. She described leaving a man she loved but felt unworthy of, and admitted she disappeared because she was terrified she'd ruin me, like she'd ruined every other relationship. She wrote, "He was so calm, so reliable. I didn't know how to handle not being in chaos. I read it 5 times. She never mentioned me by name, but she didn't have to. In the thread, she also said she hadn't dated since. That she stayed in her apartment most days. That silence was louder than she expected. That she sometimes wondered if it was too late to reach out. It was. Story 10. We were high school sweethearts. Everyone thought we'd end up married. But once college started, she changed. She wanted the big city life. More cultured friends. Parties, art galleries, freedom. I stayed in our hometown. Took over my dad's hardware business. Helped my mom after her stroke. Kept life small and honest. She left with stars in her eyes. Broke up with me over FaceTime, drunk at some rooftop party. 10 years passed. I never moved. Married someone kind. Raised 2 kids. Built the shop into something I'm proud of. One summer, she came back. I was at the farmer's market with my family when I saw her. Alone. Faded jeans. Oversized sunglasses. She walked up and smiled like nothing had happened. "I thought about you a lot," she said. "Life's been not what I expected." I nodded. "Mine too. But in the best way." She looked at my kids like she was watching a dream she never had. Then she whispered, "I thought leaving would open everything, but nothing ever felt solid again. Sometimes the life you leave behind is the one that would have rooted you. But roots don't wait forever. Story 11. We weren't officially dating, but we were everything except the label. She'd call me at midnight, pour her heart out, fall asleep on FaceTime. We cooked together, took weekend trips, met each other's families. I was all in. Then one day she said, "I think I need to explore what else is out there. No fight, no betrayal. Just a soft ending to what had felt like a blooming love." I was crushed, but I didn't beg. I let her go. She dated a string of people after me. Party types, artistic loners, older men with motorcycles and unread poetry books. I know this because she posted it all. Every brunch, every deep quote caption. But slowly, those posts stopped showing people, then stopped altogether. About 2 years later, she texted me. "No, hey, no pleasantries. Just, I miss the way you used to listen." I stared at the message for a long time. It wasn't about romance. It was about loneliness. I didn't answer.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Sure. Not out of anger, but because I'd finally stopped waiting for her to want what we already had. Story 12. My ex left me while I was deployed. We had dated for 6 years. I thought she'd be there when I got back. Instead, I came home to an empty apartment and a note. "I'm sorry, I can't keep waiting." At first, I blamed her. But as months went by, I started to understand. Military life isn't easy. Still, the betrayal lingered. She didn't even want to talk about it. Just vanished from my life completely. 3 years later, I bumped into her at a wedding. She was sitting alone at the bar, watching everyone else laugh. We made small talk. Then she blurted, "I thought leaving would give me peace. But I only lost the one person who ever felt like home." I didn't know what to say. Part of me wanted to scream. Another part wanted to hug her. Instead, I just nodded and said, "I hope you find that peace someday." I meant it. But I also knew it wouldn't be with me. Story 13. We were engaged. Had the venue booked, the invitations ready. Then, 3 months before the wedding, he confessed that he wasn't sure he could do this for the rest of his life. He said he loved me, but didn't feel alive anymore. He moved to Colorado. Said he needed mountains and space. I cried for months. Canceled everything. Took a solo honeymoon to Italy just to feel like I hadn't wasted everything. Years later, I heard he lived alone in a small town. Tried dating, but nothing stuck. A mutual friend told me he wrote songs about regret. Apparently, he once said, "She was everything. I just didn't know I wanted everything until it was gone." I've since married someone else. Someone quieter, less dramatic, but steady like a lighthouse. Love isn't always thunder. Sometimes it's just warmth that never dims. Story 14. He left because he said I was too ambitious. Literally used that phrase. Said I made him feel like he was always falling behind. Like he couldn't relax around me. The truth is, I never asked him to compete. I just wanted us both to grow. But he wanted soft comfort, not someone who challenged him. So he left. Moved in with a girl who worked at a yoga studio and posted about slow living every day. Last year, he messaged me. Said he missed our deep talks. That I made him think in ways nobody else did. He said his current relationship was easy, but shallow. I didn't feel satisfaction, just fatigue. I had fought so hard to be understood. And now that he finally understood, I had no desire left to revisit any of it. Sometimes people leave because they can't handle who you are. And sometimes when they finally can, it's too late. Story 15. We met through a gaming forum. Long distance at first, then I moved across the country to be with her. It was awkward, beautiful, nerdy love. Dungeons and Dragons, ramen nights, quiet cuddles. I thought we were weird in the best way. She eventually got into a new friend group, the kind that scoffs at emotions where irony is armor. She changed, started mocking the things we used to love. I didn't fit her new life. She left me saying she needed to level up. I stayed in the city for a while, then moved back home. Took a job running an indie game store. Found peace in slowness. Years later, she wrote me an email, said she couldn't connect with anyone, that everyone in her life felt replaceable. She said I was the only person who ever saw her off camera. It broke my heart a little, but I'd already written her out of my life, not as a villain, but as a closed chapter. She wanted fireworks. I just wanted a bonfire that never went out. Story 16. He left after we bought our first house. Yeah, house, not apartment, not weekend getaway, full-on mortgage. He said he felt trapped, like he'd accidentally walked into someone else's life. I was stunned. We'd spent a year planning this move, decorating, laughing over paint swatches, and he bailed 6 weeks in, left me with bills, a half-finished garden, and silence. I kept the house, turned the guest room into a craft studio, taught myself woodworking. Slowly, the place began to feel like mine. 3 years later, I got a letter from him, handwritten, no return address. He said he lived in different rentals every few months, never stayed long enough to hang anything on the walls. He missed quiet mornings, the smell of pancakes, and how I used to sing off-key. He ended with, "I think I was trying to run from growing up, and I ended up running away from home. I read it once, then put it in a drawer. Never wrote back. I still live in that house. It's not haunted by him. It's warmed by all the things I built after." Story 17. She broke up with me on my birthday. Said she felt like she had outgrown the relationship. We'd been together since we were 19, and I guess she thought 27 was her chance to reinvent. She moved to a big city, got into fashion, started dating people who looked like they were cast from a Netflix show. Meanwhile, I stayed in our town, started a food truck, and put my energy into building something tangible. 2 years passed. Then, one night, she showed up at the food truck. No warning. Just stood in line like a regular customer. When it was her turn, she smiled and said, "Hey." We sat on a bench and talked. She admitted everything looked glamorous on social media, but felt hollow. Said most people she met loved the version of her they invented, but nobody actually knew her. I served her a free sandwich. She cried while eating it. Said it was the first time something had tasted like real life in a long time. We didn't get back together. But that moment, it told me everything I needed. She didn't leave for something better. She left for an illusion and found nothing solid on the other side. Story 18. He was my best friend before we dated. Knew my childhood fears, the way I take my coffee, the names of my first three pets. We lasted 4 years before he told me he wasn't sure he ever saw me romantically and wanted to explore life with someone new. It wrecked me. I lost my partner and my closest confidant in one hit. A year later, his new relationship ended. Then another. Eventually, he moved to a new city for a fresh start. But I knew through friends he hadn't made many connections. When his mom passed, he messaged me. He wrote, "I didn't just lose love when I lost you. I lost the only person I could be fully unfiltered around. We talked once after that. Not about getting back together. Just about grief and growing older and how rare it is to be seen without a mask. We never rekindled. But I think that conversation was the most honest moment we ever had." Story 19. She cheated. I found out when I opened our shared laptop and saw messages she forgot to delete. I confronted her. She cried, said she didn't know why she did it, that she loved me but felt curious. I left. Took only a backpack and my dog. Moved into a studio, started freelancing, got back into photography. Life wasn't easy, but it was mine again. Years later, she DM'd me. Said she never stopped thinking about me. That the guy she cheated with ghosted her a month later. That since then, every relationship has been transactional, in her words. Nobody stuck. Nobody knew her quirks or brought her soup when she was sick. She said, "You were real. I thought I wanted chaos, but I threw away warmth. I wished her well, but I'd already learned. Never hand your piece back to the person who shattered it." Story 20. We had a no labels thing for almost a year. She didn't believe in monogamy or definitions or limiting ourselves with expectations. I agreed, mostly because I was afraid that asking for more would push her away. Eventually, she left. Said she wanted to travel the world and be untethered. I said I understood, even though it broke something in me. She spent 2 years hopping between countries. Posted all of it. Beaches, festivals, one-night adventures. Meanwhile, I dated someone who loved boring things. Sunday grocery trips, early bedtimes, deep talks about life. Story 21. We were co-founders of a tiny indie game studio. Started in college, turned our dorm hobby into a real business. Along the way, we also became a couple. Late nights coding turned into late nights sharing dreams. But as success crept in, so did ego. He wanted investors, rapid growth, conferences. I wanted slow, sustainable art. We fought more. Then he left. Said he was done being held back by comfort. Took the IP, bought me out. Said it was for the best. I stayed behind and built something new, quieter. A small mobile game that eventually went viral for its simplicity and soul. Years later, he emailed me. Told me the investors bailed. His team fell apart. Turns out when you burn the people who believed in you, there's not much left, he wrote. I miss us. Not just the love. The way you made things feel worth building. He'd built himself a kingdom, but no one stayed in it. Story 22. She was the one who always talked about forever. I was the one who hesitated. But eventually, I gave in, because loving her felt like home. Then one day, out of nowhere, she said, I don't think I'm in love with you anymore. No warning. No argument. Just a clean exit. I spiraled. Not with rage, but with emptiness. I threw myself into volunteer work just to feel useful again. About 4 years later, I got a message from one of her friends. She'd moved across the country, tried dating more exciting people, but every connection fizzled out. She'd started drinking more. When she tried reaching out to old friends, they said she wasn't the person they remembered. She emailed me once, said she used to feel like someone better when I was around. That without me, she couldn't even recognize herself. But I had nothing left to give her. She didn't just leave me. She dismantled something sacred without even understanding what she'd done. Story 23. He told me he wasn't attracted to me anymore, that I'd changed, gotten too serious, and he missed the carefree version of us. I had just lost my dad and started therapy. Apparently, grief wasn't sexy. He left 3 weeks later. Started dating a younger girl he met at a music festival. Posted aesthetic pics of them hiking and sipping craft beer. I muted him. Time passed. I healed. Slowly. I stopped apologizing for my feelings. Found a partner who didn't flinch when I cried. Who helped me clean out my dad's garage. Who stayed when things got heavy. Then, like clockwork, my ex messaged me at 2:17 a.m. on a Thursday. Said he missed our depth, that nobody had ever really gotten him like I did. That he felt like a ghost around everyone else. Funny how when you stop performing happiness for people, the ones who wanted only the highlight reel disappear, until they're the ones aching for the real thing. Story 24. She was the kind of woman who could light up a room and make you feel like you were the only one there. We met at a language exchange event. She was learning Japanese, I was learning Spanish. We bonded over mispronunciations and shared playlists. We dated for a year. Then she told me she wanted to travel solo for 6 months, to find herself. I supported it, thinking we were strong enough to make it work. A month in, she called and ended it. Said she needed full independence, no emotional anchors. 6 months became 3 years. I moved on. Found a quieter love. One with fewer fireworks but more foundation. Then she came back. She looked different. Sharper edges, tired eyes. We had coffee, and she told me her travels were beautiful, but lonely. That everywhere she went, she tried to replicate the connection she had with me, but never could. I kept meeting reflections, she said. But you were real. We parted with a hug. No bitterness, but also no second chance. Some people search the world and only realize what mattered when they return to find it's already gone. Story 25. He didn't technically leave me. He ghosted. After 2 years together, after meeting each other's families, planning a future, he just vanished. Blocked on everything. No explanation. I filed a missing persons report. Turned out he was alive, just hiding. He'd run away with a new woman, left behind everything like it was an escape room. No note. Nothing. I spent years rebuilding trust in others. Eventually, I got there. Then one day, he emailed me. It was long, rambling, and filled with regret. The woman he ran off with cheated on him. He'd lost jobs, friends, even his own family's respect. I thought I could start over, he wrote. But all I did was erase the only person who ever truly knew me. He said he lived alone in a tiny apartment. No furniture, just a mattress and a lamp. He asked if we could talk, even just to say sorry in person. I never answered. Some disappearances don't get a second act. Some ghosts should stay ghosts. Story 26. We met in a support group for people with chronic illness. At first, we bonded over medical jargon and shared frustrations. Eventually, it grew into something beautiful, slow, understanding, patient love. We both had rough days, but we never made each other feel like burdens. Then she got better. Her condition went into remission. Mine didn't. At first, I was happy for her. But then the shift came. Less empathy. More distance. Until one day she said, "I can't spend the rest of my life taking care of someone." And just like that, she was gone. I stayed. I survived. And 1 year later, she sent me a long email. She was lonely. Healthy, yes, but adrift. None of her new relationships had depth. She wrote, "I miss the way we talked about the hard things. Everyone else just wants to stay on the surface." She had climbed out of the well and left me in the dark. But by the time she realized she missed the warmth, I had already built my fire elsewhere. Story 27. He was my professor. I was 25, he was 39. It was messy. Everyone warned me. I didn't listen. He said I was brilliant, different, mature beyond my years. We kept it secret for 2 years. I loved him, truly. But eventually I wanted more. Real acknowledgement. A future. He said I was becoming too demanding and emotionally intense. So he ended it. Coldly. I felt discarded. Like a side character in his story. A decade later, I published a memoir. It was subtle, but he knew it was about us. He reached out after it hit the New York Times list. Said he admired my honesty and asked if I'd meet for coffee. "I'm not who I was," he wrote. I declined. He once told me I was too much. Turns out I was just too much for him. But not for the world. Story 28. We were neighbors in a small apartment complex. Fell in love over shared laundry machines and late-night ramen. It was one of those we-just-clicked stories. Until she got a job offer in another state. I offered to move with her. She said no. Said she wanted a fresh start. Just me, no attachments. It stung, but I let her go. She moved. Started a new life. Met people. But every few months, she'd text me. A photo of something that reminded her of us. Then a sad emoji. Then silence. Years passed. I eventually moved on and got engaged. When I posted the announcement, she messaged me. "I thought you'd always be there." I didn't realize time could actually run out. We don't talk anymore. She didn't leave me for someone else. She left me for a fantasy of independence. And by the time she wanted company again, I'd found someone who knew how to stay. Story 29. My ex and I were both artists. Different mediums. Same dream. We shared a cramped studio, bounced ideas off each other, pushed one another creatively. Then, he got accepted into a prestigious residency in Europe. I was thrilled. But he wasn't. He said, "I think I need to do this alone. I don't want to carry anyone's expectations." I wasn't mad, just heartbroken. He left. Spent 2 years building his brand overseas. From the outside, he looked successful. But a mutual friend told me he grew increasingly isolated, paranoid about whether people liked him or just his work. When he came back, he visited our old studio, now mine. Said, "I thought solitude would sharpen me, but it dulled everything. I offered him a drink and wished him well. That's all. No bitterness. Just the peace of knowing that while he was chasing legacy, I was building a life." Story 30. We were childhood friends turned lovers. Knew each other's families, first crushes, deepest fears. Everyone assumed we'd get married. So did I. Then he told me he had one life to live and needed to see the world without strings. He left with a backpack and an open-ended ticket. Said he'd be back in a year. He wasn't. 5 years later, he returned. Balding. Thinner. Still charming, but with tired eyes. He showed up at my door on Christmas Eve. Said he'd been everywhere. Brazil, Nepal, Morocco. But nothing felt like home. I let him in. We drank tea. He looked at the family photos on my wall. Me, my husband, our twins. And said, "I didn't know I was leaving this behind. I thought it would all wait." He didn't cry, but I saw the sorrow in his silence. He left again that night. I watched him walk down the street like a stranger. And that's what he was now. A ghost of a love that chose adventure over intimacy. And came back too late. Story 31. He was the love of my life, or so I thought. We started dating in high school, survived college, and even lived together while he chased his dream of becoming a screenwriter. I supported him through dozens of rejections. Freelance to keep us afloat. Cooked. Cleaned. Believed. Then one night, after a writing fellowship rejection, he looked me dead in the eye and said, "I think I resent you." I was stunned. He said being with me felt like failure, like he had become dependent, and that maybe being alone would push him toward greatness. He left within the week. I cried every night for 2 months, then got therapy. I took a tech job, moved across the country, started salsa dancing, and eventually fell in love again with a man who didn't measure his worth in suffering. 4 years later, I got a letter in the mail, not an email, a real physical letter. It was from him. He said he lived alone in a shared house with roommates 10 years younger than him. He hadn't sold a single script. He bartended and wrote on napkins. His words were filled with nostalgia and regret. He said he missed our simple joy, the way I used to hum while stirring coffee. I left to chase brilliance, he wrote. But I never realized I already had something beautiful. I didn't reply. His story had ended where mine had only begun. Story 32. She left me during cancer treatment. Not right away. She stuck around for the diagnosis the first few chemo sessions. But then things got hard. My hair fell out. My mood swung. She started sleeping on the couch, then spending more time out, then one night just didn't come back. She said later through a text, I'm not strong enough for this. I need to protect my own peace. Those words cut deeper than any needle. But I lived. I survived. I beat the damn cancer. I took every ounce of pain and turned it into momentum. Started journaling. Published a blog. Eventually turned it into a book deal. A memoir about illness, abandonment, and resilience. A few years later, she messaged me. She said she saw my book on a shelf at Target and almost started crying. She was living alone in a tiny condo. Said dating had become impossible. No one seemed to get her or wanted anything real. She asked if I wanted to meet, just to talk, maybe find closure. I told her I already had closure. It came in the form of living and being loved, fully, by someone who held my hand through my last scan. Story 33. We were married for 12 years. She was my world. We built a life filled with morning rituals, shared Spotify playlists, and dreams of retiring early and traveling. We even talked about adopting someday. Then COVID hit. She started working remotely, joined online forums, got deep into personal growth. At first, I supported it. I mean, who doesn't want their partner to grow? But her version of growth became isolation. She started saying I was limiting her, draining her frequency. One night, over dinner, she looked up from her quinoa bowl and said, I don't think I believe in monogamy anymore. I thought it was a phase. It wasn't. She left 6 weeks later, said she was going to Bali to realign. I didn't hear from her for 2 years. Then I got an email that started with, I'm sorry for how I left. She'd bounced between countries and partners. Said it all felt exciting until she realized no one stuck around after the dopamine faded. I wanted to feel infinite, she wrote. But now I just feel unheld. I had remarried by then. We were building a garden in our backyard, planning our third anniversary trip. I wished her peace, but I never wrote back. Some people don't break your heart. They free it. After enough time, you're grateful they left. Story 34. We had a long-distance relationship for nearly 2 years. It was intense, poetic, passionate. We'd write each other letters, plan future cities to live in, even dream about what our apartment would look like. Then, one day, she called and said she met someone local. It's just easier, she said. You're amazing. But this is real. She married that man a year later. I saw it on social media. Big wedding, sunflowers everywhere. Her smiling like nothing ever existed before him. I blocked her. Not in rage, but for healing. 7 years went by. I was working in a bookstore when she walked in. Alone. No ring. We locked eyes. She smiled awkwardly. Asked if I had time for coffee. Curiosity won. She said the marriage fell apart after 2 years. Turns out, convenience fades fast. He stopped caring, then stopped trying. She said, with you I felt seen. With him I felt parked. She asked if I ever thought about what we had. I told her I did. But that version of me, the one who waited, was long gone. You can't just walk back into someone's life like a song on pause. Some music only plays once. Story 35. He was my older brother's best friend. We kept our relationship secret for almost a year, afraid of what everyone would say. But it was real, full of laughter, shared dumb jokes, heated arguments about sci-fi movies. Then one day he ghosted me. Just gone. Blocked on everything. My brother said he needed space, and I eventually learned he had started seeing someone else. Someone safer. Simpler. I never got an explanation. Years passed. I got therapy. Became a therapist. Learned the patterns. The abandonment wounds. The avoidance. I still thought about him. But less with sadness and more as a study. One day, he showed up at my office. Not as a client. Just outside, sitting on the bench. He looked older. Tired. I stepped outside, heart racing. He said,
I'm not here to interrupt your life. I just wanted to say, I couldn't handle how much you saw me. It terrified me. So I ran. He admitted he'd never felt anything real since. Just short, hollow relationships. Said being alone felt safer than being seen and possibly abandoned first. I told him I hoped he kept working on that. Then I went back inside. The girl he ghosted? She had grown into a woman he couldn't face. Story 36. She used to say she loved how quiet I was, that I was her safe space, but eventually my calm became boring to her. She wanted something louder, more chaotic, more passionate. So she left me for a musician, a guy with tattoos, a van, and a Bandcamp following. They moved into a loft with four roommates and a cat named Moonbeam. I wished her well, truly. I kept going. I became a librarian, grew tomatoes, read Tolstoy on my lunch breaks. A quieter life, but a good one. Then, nearly 4 years later, she showed up at my library. I didn't recognize her at first. Her glow was gone. She looked like someone who hadn't slept properly in months. I thought noise meant love, she said, but it turns out chaos just drowns out the loneliness for a while. She asked if I'd ever want to get coffee, just to talk. I told her I'd love to recommend her a good book, but that's all I had left to give her. Story 37. My ex-wife left me because I got sober. At first, she said she was proud. But over time, she became resentful. You're not fun anymore, she said. Truthfully, she didn't want to confront her own drinking. I offered to support her, go to therapy, anything. She refused. Called me self-righteous. Said I'd changed. She moved out. I stayed. Kept going to meetings. Built a new routine. It was brutal. Especially in the quiet nights. But the stillness taught me how to live again. 3 years later, I got a call from her sister. My ex had been hospitalized for alcohol poisoning. Twice. She was now living alone. Estranged from most of her family and wanted to reach out to me. We met at a cafe. She looked fragile. Like her soul had shrunk. She said, I thought you leaving the old life behind meant you were leaving me behind. But really, I was the one who left. She asked if we could try again. I held her hand and told her, gently, that my healing didn't come with retroactive rescue missions. Some people leave you when you choose growth. And when they fall, they want you to catch them with the arms they once rejected. Story 38. He didn't leave me in one moment. He left slowly, piece by piece. First stopped responding to texts right away. Then skipped anniversaries. Then the I love yous faded. Eventually, he just said, I don't think I ever loved you the way you loved me. I cried, obviously. But deep down, I already knew. He moved on quickly. Dated someone else within a month. A girl with a huge Instagram presence and a curated coastal aesthetic. I muted him. I healed. A couple years passed. I opened a flower shop, found love with someone kind and wildly unafraid to show it. Then one night, at closing time, my ex walked in. He looked exhausted. Said he saw my shop on Google Maps, that he just wanted to say hi. Then he said it. I don't think anyone's ever really known me since you. I asked him if he wanted to buy flowers. He just shook his head and left. And that's the thing about being taken for granted. When someone finally realizes what they lost, they often return to a version of you that no longer exists. Story 39. We dated in secret for a year. She was closeted, terrified of her conservative family. I was patient, always patient. I let her take the lead, make the rules. No holding hands in public, no babe, around others. It hurt, but I loved her enough to endure. Then one night she broke down and said she couldn't do it anymore. She was going to marry a man, one her parents approved of. It's just easier, she said. I can't live with the weight of disappointing everyone. I cried for weeks, lost weight, shut myself in. Then one day I started painting again. Eventually sold a few pieces, then more. Art gave me something to anchor myself to when she wouldn't. Years later, I got a letter. No return address, but the handwriting was unmistakable. She wrote, I thought I was choosing a simpler life, but it's just quieter, not in a peaceful way, in an empty way. I haven't been touched in a way that felt like love since you. She didn't ask for anything, just wanted me to know. I folded the letter and placed it between two canvases, a reminder that even if someone leaves because they're scared, they may still carry you as a ghost forever. Story 40. She left after our daughter was born. Said she didn't feel like a mother and needed to reconnect with herself. I was floored, exhausted, devastated. I begged her to stay, to try therapy, anything. But she packed her bags and moved to another state, chasing some undefined freedom. I raised our daughter on my own, learned to braid hair from YouTube tutorials, memorized lullabies, attended dance recitals solo. It was hard, yes, but it was also the most beautiful, honest work of my life. 10 years passed. Then one day, she showed up at a school fundraiser, unannounced, alone. She cried when she saw our daughter, asked if she could speak with her, just 5 minutes. I said no. Our daughter didn't remember her. That absence wasn't just physical, it was permanent, emotional, structural. She begged. I refused. You wanted freedom, I told her. We gave it to you. Later, I found a letter tucked in my car windshield. It read, I thought running away would let me reclaim myself, but the only thing I truly abandoned was everything that made me whole. It hurt to read, but it didn't change anything. Some doors once closed don't unlock again. Story 41. She and I were both med students when we started dating. We pushed each other to be better. Studied side by side, quizzed each other through flashcards, celebrated our match letters with tears and champagne. She was driven, brilliant, magnetic. When residency began, she changed. She became distant, competitive. I thought it was just stress, but eventually she sat me down and said she needed to focus fully on her career. Said, I don't want to compromise, not for anyone. She transferred to a different hospital across the country. I was wrecked, but I focused on my own program. I became a pediatric surgeon. I married a NICU nurse who makes me laugh at 3 a.m. when my scrubs are blood-soaked and my hands won't stop shaking. We built a quiet, meaningful life. 7 years passed. I got an email from my ex. The subject line just read, I saw you on the conference panel. She wrote a long letter, said she was chief of her department now, published, respected, but utterly, completely alone. She never dated seriously again. She said, I thought solitude was strength, but sometimes it's just silence. She asked if I remembered the time we snuck wine into the anatomy lab and danced between cadavers. I did, but that version of us was gone. She chose ambition over love, and now had awards, but no one to celebrate them with. Story 42. He was my roommate's older brother. Tall, sarcastic, unshakable. We weren't supposed to fall in love, but we did. Our relationship was a mess. Passionate, loud, full of big highs and painful lows. He was emotionally unavailable, and I thought I could change that. After 2 years, he ended things during a road trip. In the middle of the desert. Literally. Pulled over and said, this isn't what I want anymore. I had to Uber 3 hours back to the city with a stranger while crying in the back seat. He moved abroad shortly after. New job, new friends, new girlfriend. I watched from a distance, then muted him everywhere. 6 years later, I ran into him at a conference. I was presenting. He was sitting alone in the audience. Afterward, he approached me. He looked older, deflated, told me he'd gone through a divorce, hadn't spoken to his family in years, and felt like he'd been chasing a version of happiness that didn't exist. Then he said, you were the only one who ever made me feel like I could be known and still loved. It should have felt like victory. But instead, I just felt sad for him and grateful that I had learned how to love people who didn't run. Story 43. I met him when I was 33 and going through a divorce. He was 24, full of energy and spontaneity. He said I made him feel grounded. I said he made me feel alive again. We dated for about a year. He moved into my place, brought vinyl records and plants I didn't ask for. But slowly I started noticing the cracks, the refusal to do dishes, the way he mocked my routines, the way he rolled his eyes when I had work calls. Then one day he told me he felt trapped in a suburban sitcom, that he wanted to explore and meet people who weren't so settled. He left, moved into a warehouse loft, started posting pseudo-deep quotes and selfies with art girls. I rebuilt, got therapy, focused on being a good mom. Fell in love with a professor who showed up on time and brought me coffee before work without being asked. 2 years later, the kid messaged me, said he was living alone, working a retail job he hated. He admitted, I thought freedom would feel like flight, but I just feel like I'm falling. He asked if we could catch up. I didn't answer, because I wasn't his net anymore. I had become my own. Story 44. We were childhood friends turned teenage lovers turned adults who thought that history was enough. But it wasn't. We knew each other too well. Every fear, every trigger. What once felt like intimacy became ammunition. Fights turned brutal. One day she said, I love you, but I don't like you anymore. Then she packed up her things and moved out while I was at work. I tried to win her back. Sent letters. Made playlists. Waited. She never responded. Years passed. I went to therapy, changed cities, made new memories. Fell in love with someone who knew only the present version of me. Then, out of nowhere, I got a letter from her. It was short. Handwritten. She said, I thought I was walking toward clarity, but I've only found mirrors. all showing me the person I was with you, but no one ever seeing me like you did. It wasn't a plea to return, just a confession, a whisper across time. I read it once and threw it into the sea. Because sometimes, the person you loved then wouldn't even recognize the person you've become now. Story 45. She left after our miscarriage. We grieved differently. I wanted silence. She wanted distraction. I journaled. She drank. Eventually, she said she couldn't do it anymore, that being around me reminded her too much of the loss. I didn't blame her, but I was shattered. She moved out, moved states, moved on, or so I thought. I never heard from her again. I tried to start over, but for a long time, every woman I met felt like a ghost in her shadow. Eventually, I met someone who didn't try to fill the empty spaces. She just stood with me in them. We married last year. We're expecting. Then, one rainy Thursday, I got a letter in the mail. No return address. Inside was a single line. I ran because I thought the grief was the burden, but I was. I folded the letter and burned it. Not out of anger, but as a ritual, a release. She left when love needed to stretch beyond joy, and that's when I learned who was capable of staying. Story 46. We worked in the same law firm. I was the quiet one, reliable, consistent. She was the star. Fast talker, dazzling in a room, always 10 steps ahead. We dated secretly for 2 years. Late night coffee runs, whispers in stairwells, quiet dinners after 14-hour workdays. I loved her fiercely. But one day, she sat me down and said, "I need someone who keeps up. You're too..." Still, I didn't argue. I didn't fight. I just left her office and closed the door. She rose fast. Made partner within a year. I switched firms. Moved to a smaller practice in a smaller city. Less stress. More life. I married a school counselor. We have chickens now. 3 years later, I saw her at a conference. She was alone. Still beautiful, but tired. After the keynote, she approached me and said, "No one's ever looked at me the way you did. Like I didn't need to impress anyone." She admitted she hadn't had a serious relationship since. "Too many people want the image," she said. "You were the only one who wanted me underneath it." She asked if we could get dinner. I said I was meeting my wife in 20 minutes. Then I walked away, steady, as always. And this time, that steadiness was mine to keep. Story 47. He broke up with me on stage. We were in a small town band. Nothing big, just weekend shows and local gigs. He was lead guitar, I was vocals. The crowd loved our chemistry. During a packed Friday show between two songs, he stepped to the mic and said, "This will be my last performance with the band. And with her." Everyone laughed at first. Then they realized it wasn't a joke. He left town that weekend, moved to LA, said in an interview later that I was holding him back creatively. I was humiliated, but I kept playing, eventually formed a new group. A producer found us online. We toured, got traction, released an album. Then one day he messaged me, said he'd been working at a music store to make rent, never found the magic again, said the fame he wanted always stayed 1 inch out of reach. "I thought leaving would unlock something," he wrote, "but I didn't realize you were the magic." I never replied. Sometimes people burn the bridge thinking there's a highway on the other side and find only empty road. Story 48. We were both widowed young. Our shared grief became our foundation. We didn't expect to fall in love, but we did. Slowly. Carefully. Like two people stepping barefoot across broken glass. For 4 years, we built a new life out of the ruins. She was quiet, gentle, until she wasn't. She started talking about needing space, about how maybe she hadn't processed everything. I offered counseling. Time apart. She said no. One day, she packed up and left, telling me, "I need to be alone to find out who I really am." That was her right, but it gutted me. I rebuilt again, found peace in hiking, volunteering, planting sunflowers. Eventually, love found me again, a different kind, but solid and rooted. One morning, I got a postcard. No return address, just a photo of a cabin in the woods. On the back it read, "I found silence. I found myself, but I never found what I had with you. And now there's no path back." I kept that card, not as a door, as a monument to what we had and what she walked away from, trying to heal in solitude. Story 49. She left over a political argument. It started as a small disagreement, a joke she didn't like, a comment I thought was harmless. Then it spiraled. She accused me of not taking life seriously, of being too moderate for someone who claims to care. I was shocked. We'd been together for 3 years, traveled the world, built IKEA furniture without killing each other. But she packed up and left, said she needed someone fully aligned, her words. I moved on, slowly, painfully, met someone new, someone less ideological, more empathetic. We didn't agree on everything, but we listened. Then, during the pandemic, my ex messaged me, said she'd lost most of her social circle due to purity politics, said she missed nuance, said she missed me. I thought being right was the most important thing, she wrote. Now I just want peace. I didn't reply, because peace is exactly what I had now, and it didn't come from winning arguments. It came from love. Story 50. We met on a backpacking trip across Southeast Asia. Shared dorm beds, street food, midnight swims in places we couldn't pronounce. It was intense, dreamy, cinematic. For a year, we lived like that. No plans, no direction, just each other. Then one day back home, she looked at me and said, I don't want this version of life. I want more. Structure. A real future. I was surprised. That's what I had wanted all along. I offered to grow with her. Get jobs. Build something real. She said no. I need to find it alone, she told me. Then she vanished into career seminars and self-help books. I stayed. Got a job in education. Started writing. Married someone who doesn't just want to grow, but grow together. Years later, she emailed me. Said her life was successful on paper, but every night felt like a to-do list. I thought leaving you would help me grow, she said, but now I just feel like I left the garden. Some people chase purpose by burning the map. Others find it by planting roots.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.